Around 1 in 5 Americans are unpaid caregivers for loved ones with a disability or disease. In his new film, Unconditional, MSNBC and NBC News anchor Richard Louie examines his own role as a caretaker for his late father and how that experience opened his eyes to a community of fellow caregivers navigating similar situations.
Sometimes we forget to stop and check our own physical and mental health. And I know it's taken a toll.
Richard Louie's here with us now. So, Richard, I think when someone is caregiving, they focus on the person they're taking care of. I wanted to start by asking, when did you start thinking about the effect this was also having on you and the rest of your family?
You know, now it's been 7 years we worked on this. I was not thinking this is going to be an introspective about my own mental and physical health and being able to talk about it as honestly as I could. And so that clip that you just played was truly the beginning of me thinking, I need to think about, am I okay? And it's okay if I'm not okay.
And you and I have been friends for a long time, and we've shared our experiences caregiving for elderly relatives, especially over the past couple of years. Do you feel like there's a particular aspect of this being Asian American that you wanted to highlight?
You know, we're in AAPI Heritage Month or ANHPI Heritage Month. We're also in Mental Health Awareness Month. And I would say that what I've learned is that there are some differences community to community, but there are more similarities. When I speak to folks who are Black and Latino, Hispanic, who are from different parts of Asia, who are indigenous, we're all doing the same thing. And we identify with what brought us to get us through it. We just don't see it because most often when we're talking about caregiving and mental health, we think we're alone and we're not.
And so for you, when did you realize that you weren't alone?
I started to look at the statistics. And when I realized that we had over 50 million in the country, that we had over 5 million children, 17 and younger, that are family caregivers, no training, not being paid, and doing some of the most heroic things at home, then I knew we had a cultural gap. We had to bring this into what we talk about every day. Because if I were to say, are you a caregiver, Nyla? You'd go, no, but I've done it. I'm just a daughter. And me too. And so I've had to purposefully try to push myself to say, yeah, I was a caregiver, and I am a caregiver for my mother now. So, you know, I have to say that. And it's strange to say out loud.
Can we talk about the financial toll that caregiving takes? And can you share how you were able to navigate your work life, including flying across the country from New York City to San Francisco to help take care of your dad while you are an anchor for NBC News and MSNBC?
Yeah, there was a physical and mental toll as I look back, but there was also a financial toll. Sat down with my boss, Yvette Miley, and I really thought it was the end of, you know, my career because, you know, we don't typically have part-time news anchor contracts. And she used to send me to breaking stories all over the country and the world, right? Richard, let's go. We're going to send you to Ferguson, Paris, you know, let's do this. She always would send me. And I knew that what I was going to ask her for to take care of my dad more often or to have the access to that was really kind of saying goodbye and that she would say to me, Richard, you're a great guy. See you later. When you're ready, come on back. We like you. Like I expected, kind of, you know, paraphrasing. And instead, I sat down in an office the size of the one you and I are sitting in right now. And she's looking at her screen. She's a consummate news editor, has her glasses on, looks down at me, turns around, puts down her glasses. And after I tell her what I want, that I'm going to take care of my dad, she goes, I'm taking care of my mom, too, in Florida, Richard. And I was just like, What just happened? And the next thing that came out of her mouth was, let me get my reporter's notebook. You and I are going to figure out 3 or 4 ideas together so you can make this work with us. And that was the beginning of what has been 7 years of me working Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Initially, you know, taking care of my father. And the reason why I was able to do you know, these documentaries is I would stop along the way and film one day and then I'd continue on to see my father or back to New York. And the film, I didn't know why I was doing it. And I only realized this probably within the last 6 months, Nyla, that I was really doing it to work through the difficulty and the sadness and wanting to be productive, to try to turn what was so horrible for my pops into something that I hoped, and I know my dad, would help other people too. And I didn't, you know, I kind of thought that, but I really felt it.
Did your family feel that? Was it hard for your sister and for your mom and your brothers to take part in this?
You know, my mom wouldn't be like, oh yeah, I'd love to be filmed. No, she wouldn't say that, but she's like, okay, if you want to do that, go ahead. And my dad would have been, okay, yeah, let's do it. I don't know if it was difficult so much. It was more of, oh, that's what Richard does. That's what he's going to do, and we'll help him.
Your dad was a pastor. Do you feel like that is also part of the mindset where your family would be like, if this helps other people, we'll do it?
Yeah, both my dad was a pastor, my mom a school teacher. My dad, after he couldn't afford paying the bills, being a youth pastor, became a social worker. And I think both of their examples proved out to me about serving the community. You know, they never said that, but they never pointed the finger at, hey, you know, you have to do this when we get older. And, you know, see, I'm a school teacher and I'm making poverty level wages, Richard. See, I'm a social worker. I'm making poverty level. Because we're on food stamps. And I used to get mad going to bed hungry, going, why are you two working these jobs where we can't even pay the bills? Why? And later, as you can probably surmise, I was like, ah, because it was your mission. It was what you wanted to do. And you weren't preaching to the kids you had to do that. You just did it. And so I think that starts to, you know, simmer in the back of your brain. And you start to just have it ingrained. You start to do those things.
And so how much of this is part of your identity now, you think?
I'd say it's consumed a little bit of my life. And I laughed at my dad, who had Alzheimer's, was laughing all the way because really he didn't have Alzheimer's. He was just sitting back going, ooh, if I pretend like I got Alzheimer's, I can get my kid to finally do good stuff, you know, because I was a typical pastor's kid not doing good stuff. It was a joke I always like to tell. He's like, Dad's just actually, it's a farce. He's really never had it. He was just making me do the right thing.
There are some really painful moments in this film. Do you worry that this is such a difficult topic that it's hard for people to sit through and engage with?
I do. And when we were editing it for 2 years, we was very conscious, you know. How could we approach a topic? And if we're trying to close that cultural gap, how could we do it in a way that you might want to reach to want to see it? So we really did our darndest, in the music choices. In the choices of, you know, which parts you just heard my sister and myself, but we can also shy away from it either. And I think that the objective, it was to broach the topic of mental health and caregiving and to try to show that mental health is not always meaning somebody's wrong. It can mean that somebody is strong. We always think mental health equals wrong, when mental health can equal strong. And I hope for the folks that when they get through the movie and they finish and they walk away, that conversation you have after in the car when you're walking away from your computer or from your TV is that you somehow are not sure how to articulate the strength that was exhibited by all the families, and that we do come out on the other end of our caregiving journey just like astronauts do. With the title astronaut for the rest of your life, with the title caregiver for the rest of your life, and you have a different understanding of humanity and a different understanding of what it means to care for somebody else, because then that means we get to see each other, which we have not done a good job of in recent times.
So what is your advice for all the caregivers who are listening right to this right now?
If you're a caregiver, I would say, first of all, get to the point where you're comfortable saying, I'm a caregiver, in the mirror, in the quiet of your own time. Second, reach out and talk to somebody about it, where you're comfortable. It could be a friend. It could be a hotline. It could be a support group. Third, I would say, try to think of what you're learning and how you can turn that learning into helping not only the person you're caring for, but yourself and others. One concern that I would have is, I call it the scream. because the moment my mom knew she couldn't do it anymore was she didn't know it. We knew it because we had cloud cameras, and she was screaming at my father as he was doing repeat action. So he loved to shower. So he would strip down naked and then run into the bathroom and shower like 20 times a day. You know, just funny. We used to laugh about it all. Oh, there goes a streaker again. And one time she was screaming at him. We weren't there, and I heard it through the cloud camera. I was like, that's not only a scream of being mad. She's screaming for help. She's screaming because she's sad, and she doesn't know what to do. And that's when I said to my siblings, like, it's time. We have to have the talk with mom. You can do and be what people call unmitigated selflessness, and you have to be careful. You want to give everything. And it's a tough line to know where that's at. And anything less of it, you think you're not a good person. You're a good person. You have to be careful of that. Don't let the scream happen without hearing it.
Richard Louie is the director of Unconditional, which is airing in AMC theaters right now and also on PBS stations. Richard, thank you.
Thank you, Nyla.